Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of Redington (India) Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raj Shankar, Vice Chairman and Managing Director of Redington (India) Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good evening to all participants, and thank you for taking the time to be with us on this call. Before I get started, I hope all of you and your family are safe. From a Redington standpoint, we had a little bit of a challenging quarter, but as we speak, there are four employees who are currently going through the treatment for having tested positive for COVID-19 in India. As far as overseas is concerned, there are 11 of our employees who are currently going through the recovery process. In terms of vaccination, just to give you a perspective, approximately about 55% of our employees have got either partially or fully vaccinated in India, and about 70% of our employees overseas have got themselves either partially or fully vaccinated. Just to give you, I thought was important data point. Now, very quickly to jump into our first quarter of FY22, I'm very pleased to share with you that our revenue, EBITDA, profit after tax at a consolidated level have grown by a strong double digit. Revenue at 26% growth, EBITDA at 58% growth, and profit after tax at 167% over the same quarter of FY21. Just in case, just to be a little more prudent, we also did a comparison with Q1 FY20, and our revenue grew by 15% against Q1 FY20, EBITDA by 49%, and profit after tax by 115%. The EBITDA at a consolidated level was 2.7%, and our profit after tax was 1.76%. The revenue that we have delivered in Q1 is the highest for Redington for Q1 in its entire history. Both the theaters, as in India as well as overseas, have delivered double-digit growth on the same set of parameters, which is revenue, EBITDA, and profit after tax. In India, the total revenue, including ProConnect, grew by 57% against Q1 FY21 and 31% against Q1 FY20. EBITDA grew by 94% against Q1 of FY21 and 32% against Q1 FY20, and our profit after tax grew by a whopping 359% against Q1 FY21 and about 140% against Q1 FY20. When you look at overseas, the growth was 11%, 40%, and 106% for revenue, EBITDA, and profit after tax respectively. and that is against Q1 FY21. And when you compare it with Q1 FY20, we've grown by 7%, 63%, and 100%, again for revenue, EBITDA, and profit after tax. So overall, if you see, both the theaters have really hit some record numbers on every financial parameter. Just on a side note, that we had a translation sort of impact to the extent of about 2.5%. So in other words, if you look at overseas, which grew by 11% in revenue against FY21, if you look at from a US dollar growth point of view, it was 13%. Likewise, when you look at from a point of view of EBITDA, it was 4% higher. The other interesting, as this is in spite of the fact I must qualify, with regard to our operations in South Asia, we continue to have a decline in both revenue and in profits. As I had already mentioned in my earlier calls, the more and more of our technology vendors are moving their business from Singapore to India, and which is from a US dollar transaction to make it a rupee transaction. With this change, so it's a disadvantage to our Singapore operations, but certainly it's a big advantage to our India operations. A good part of the sales that was lost in Singapore has been reasonably made up by our India operations. Overall, India contributed to 40% of the revenue and 41% of the profit after tax, and overseas contributed to 60 and 59% of the revenue and profit after tax. The other interesting aspect is both the verticals, i.e., which is information technology and mobility, grew double digits for last quarter. So IT grew by 33% at a consolidated level, mobility grew by 11%, and services also grew by 11%, though the contribution is still very small. The real solid growth came out of India, where IT grew by 72%, largely on the back of consumer IT, which grew by a triple digit, mobility grew by 14%, and services grew by 11%. In overseas, IT grew by 11%, driven by consumer IT, which grew by 27%, mobility grew by 9%. So both the theaters have done well, India and the overseas. The industry verticals or the product categories of both IT and mobility both have grown quite nicely. There is one point that I overlooked to mention. As we talk about overseas, this profit growth of 106% that I mentioned is after taking an impact of in Turkey because of the currency depreciation of Turkish lira against the US dollar. The effective tax rate was 64%. And in spite of a big setback on account of tax in Turkey, we have still managed to deliver a good profit growth. The other interesting aspect, something that we feel proud, is the fact that our working capital has been contained at 18 days. Now, when you look at the previous year at a consolidated level, it was 17 days. Please don't forget that when you look at the previous year, we had a lot of vendors supporting us by giving extended credit period. So as an example, in Q1 FY21, our creditor days was 69, as opposed to only 50 days this time. So we had a 19 days of disadvantage, so to speak. But that was more than offset by debtor days coming down from 58 then to 46 now, and the inventory days by 6 days from 28 then to 22 days now. So overall, I feel good about the fact that our working capital continues to be well maintained. This is true not only for overseas, which has consistently delivered over a protracted period of time. It's also true for India, which again in the last many quarters have also consistently brought down their working capital. India had a net working capital days of 21, overseas at 17, and hence consolidated was 18. Now in terms of cash flow, as you would know, that because we threw up over 3,000 crores of positive free cash flow during our financial year FY21, it was certainly not possible for us to continue to generate cash this quarter. But as we have always explained to all of you, we would request you to consider or look at cash flow on an annualized basis rather than on a quarterly basis. But having said that, our free cash flow was negative at 317 crores. Both India and overseas were negative at 127 and 189 crores respectively. What is very gratifying is the capital efficiency. Our ROCE has now hit a new high of 52%. Again, this is true for both India and overseas. India delivered a little shy of 42%, whilst overseas delivered 63% plus. The return on equity, again, was at a little shy of 19%. And when you look at the previous year, we had done 8%. And overseas delivered to a little less than 16%, whereas India delivered north of 25%. So all the financial metrics and the capital efficiency certainly have been well managed during this last quarter. The other important aspect, as all of you would recall, our FY20, during the pandemic, our playbook was about our 7 C's. And the first C is to do with cash flow. And the second is to do with cost and so on and so forth, and managing the liquidity well. Here again, I'm very pleased to share with you that our net debt to equity was negative 0.49. And if for a moment you look at gross debt to gross equity, it is 0.11. Again, we are seriously under leveraged. This obviously gives us a tremendous headroom to be able to look at growth going forward. Our overall net worth has breached 5,000 crores at 5,224 crores, and the total capital employed in the business was 2,852 crores. There is one point that I must draw your attention to, which is to do with inventory provision. I want to certainly place on record that there is nothing adverse that has happened. In overseas, we have recalibrated our provisioning policy for inventory. In other words, we have made it lot more aggressive than what was practiced in the past. So had we adopted the erstwhile inventory provisioning norms, the inventory provision would have been a little shy of 0.13%, whereas right now it is 0.41, and therefore that 28 bps is largely attributed to the change in the inventory provisioning policy. So there is fundamentally nothing that you need to be worried about. As far as the bad debt is concerned, yes, it is higher than usual, because there are, in overseas in particular, there are some receivables from some of our customers, stroke partners in Africa, where it has taken time, and because it has breached the threshold level, therefore we have made 100% provision. We are very confident that the monies will be collected, but in order to be prudent from an accounting policy point of view, we have recorded 100% provision, and hence, again I repeat, there is no cause for concern here. The other aspect is, some of you would recall that we really started to double down on our cloud business, which did well for last year. We continue to be doing well on that, and executing well. I'm again pleased to share with you that we have grown about 60% in Q1 FY22 over Q1 FY21. So that is going well. And the other aspect is, of course, the managed services, which is approximately about 6% of the overall cloud number. So to give you a complete, the value, we have delivered about 280 crores of cloud revenue in Q1 FY22. The last piece is about ProConnect. While we have come a long way, at a consolidated level, I'm pleased to share that we grew by 36% in revenue, delivering 110 crores of revenue, and our EBITDA was at 9%, about 10.1 crores in value terms, and our profit after tax was 1.9 crores. As all of you would know, we certainly had experienced a lot of challenges, particularly in the month of May in India, when the wave 2 certainly, you know, was a big negative impact to our business. But to the credit of our ProConnect team, in spite of all the odds, they continue to execute very well. And I'm actually very happy and proud about the fact that with such serious challenges and lots of difficulties, that they have still been able to deliver a pretty decent growth and an EBITDA of 9%. In summary, I would say we have had a great quarter. We executed well, whether you compare it in relation to Q1 FY21 or even in relation to Q1 FY20. I'll take a pause here, circle it back to Margaret, and hoping to get some of your questions, and we'll try our best to answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everyone, and congratulations on the quarter. So I had four questions actually. One is on ProConnect. Just wanted your thoughts on how we should think about the steady state margin in this business and how the business has sort of evolved. Two, wanted your thoughts on the services business overseas, which appears to have sort of fallen quite a bit this quarter. So they wanted your thoughts on what exactly is happening there. The third is on the Brightstar acquisition in Turkey they're actually looking at. Just wanted your thoughts on that, and from an incremental capital allocation in Turkey, how are you thinking about that market in terms of incremental capital allocation? And finally, do you think despite such high tax rates and negative tax rate implications from Turkey, still our effective tax rates have actually been subdued? So just wanted your thoughts on how we should think about that as well as we go forward. Those are the four questions.
Thank you, Nitin. As always, good set of questions. Let me take it one by one. Your first question was about ProConnect on margin. Our view is that the way we are now focused on which industry verticals to participate, and we have narrowed it down to 5 and 6 industry verticals. We are doubling down on warehouse management services, and which is where we believe our core competency is, and which is where we believe there is a higher margin proposition that we can earn, and slowly bring down on our transportation business, which gives us top line but not as much bottom line. We are also investing heavily in terms of technology and systems that will certainly bring down cost and improve the customer experience. Given all of this, our own view is that in the way forward, you should see our EBITDA steadily go up. I will at this point in time, Nitin, hesitate to tell you a number, but trust me, you will see we will continue to drive the EBITDA upwards. The reason I'm a little cautious while saying that is because we never expected, as we got into Q1, that we would have a complete 35 days of so-called lockdown in the month of May, which completely, put us in a very difficult place. And, in this business, there are certain standstill costs. There are certain fixed costs. And to that extent, therefore, it becomes a little difficult to predict, but we will certainly gradually take up the EBITDA margins upwards in the way forward. Now, your second question, with regard to service business overseas, I don't know, you made a statement that it has fallen, etc. Overseas grew by 11% on services in Q1 FY22 over the previous year. Contribution is 1%. And as far as the India is concerned, the services business grew by 11% and the contribution is about 2% to the overall revenue. So to us, the overseas business is essentially the insure business, and to some extent there is a ProConnect business which we have commenced not too long ago, so it is still in early days. So to me, the growth is about 11%, like in India. To your third question about this Brightstar, so currently, Nitin, truth be told, we are still going through this whole due diligence, and the negotiations are still underway. It's a little premature to talk about that transaction at this stage. But all that I can say is, from a Redington standpoint, there is not a single dollar of capital or any kind of financial security or guarantee that we are giving to Arena to be able to acquire this asset. Purely on the strength of the balance sheet of Arena and with the capital that they have, they will be in a position to be able to take a bank loan and fund this transaction as and when we reach that stage. But it is certainly moving. It's moving in the right direction, but the pandemic has only made things a little slower than we would have liked. And with regard to the negative tax rate, Krishnan, would you want to take that question?
Sure. So on a steady state basis, you have to take a tax rate of within about 23-24%. Yes, this time it has been low because, it is mainly because of the mix. Last time we had a very reduced profits from India with in ProConnect there was a loss and we could not carry forward some loss and because of which the PBT and PAT were same. So this, 20.6% in the current quarter is more an aberration. On a steady state basis, we should take about 23-24%.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. Just one small clarification. I think there might be an error on my part. Is the overseas services business, the absolute number is around 80 crore? And is that correct? Versus, is that correct?
Yeah, you are, no, let me tell you, you're right. So it should be in the vicinity of about 80 plus crores because we did about 8,000 crores of overseas revenue and the contribution of overseas is about 1%. That's about, yeah, you're right. Soumya, I would need your help, but for now, Nitin, you can take it as 80 plus crores.
Yes, the prior year number, what I have is 145. I think that would be incorrect then.
Oh, because it's not possible because we have grown by 11%. So I'll tell you what, please allow us to just check this out and circle back to you, Nitin, if that is fine. I don't have the data sheet in front of me. Allow us to circle back to you if it is fine.
Absolutely. No worries. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants, we would request you to please submit your question to two at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pawan Ahluwalia from Laburnum Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Raj. Looks like the business is in good shape, and as you indicated, many of the trends that we were wondering about as sort of short-term trends really look like they're holding up very nicely. Just a couple of questions from my side. One is, you know, on the India enterprise side, you've talked, very extensively in the past about the pivot to the cloud and how Redington in the medium to long term is going to be a very important pipe through which our small and medium enterprises access the cloud, and that makes complete sense, and it's fantastic to see the traction there. I'm just wondering, on the core enterprise IT spend side, we've seen this be sluggish for a few years now, and our conventional answer, first cut answer has been, look, overall CapEx has been muted, the economy has been, I was going to say, how much of this is cyclical? And due to the economy as opposed to structural, where as enterprises move more and more to the cloud, the amount of spend that the enterprises do on IT hardware comes down. The second question that I had was around the new sort of regulations that we've, or regulatory action that we've seen concerning, online marketplaces and the extent to which they can use their proxies to be sellers in the marketplace. And we've seen one very prominent JV between Amazon and a leading Indian business family basically come apart in the last in the last few days. Based on your read of the regulatory landscape, and I know Redington has traditionally had a more conservative view than a lot of people, are we at a point where the government has made it clear to the Flipkarts and Amazons of the world that you're meant to function as marketplaces and you can't actually be taking inventory yourself either directly or through your proxies? And if so, is that a sort of sign of relief for us as a business? Because I know one big strategic potential threat we've been worried about has been vendors selling directly to Amazon or Flipkart versus going through a distributor.
Pawan, thank you for your questions. With regard to your first question on enterprise in India, so let me first give you the comfort that yes, you are right. The enterprise business overall has been a little sluggish, and especially the traditional business. So the first two quarters of last year, we did have almost from April through September, we did see a slowdown in that business. But we started to see a certain amount of recovery in Q3, and it started to pick up momentum in Q4 and also in Q1. So the first point is, no, there is no, we are still seeing high potential for us to continue to drive a double-digit growth on the enterprise business. This is both the traditional, notwithstanding the fact that the cloud business will obviously have a much faster accelerated growth going forward. But to your question, is the cloud business somewhere cannibalizing the traditional enterprise business? We are not seeing that so far. We have the same concern running in our head, but I can tell you that has not played out so far, and we still see a good headroom for a double-digit growth through the rest of the year. I don't know if that answers, Pawan, your first part of the question.
Yeah, that answers it perfectly. Thank you.
Lovely. Thanks, Pawan. Now to the second question, Rajiv, would you want to take that question?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do the question on marketplace and how the marketplaces are, and is the deal of Indramulti and Amazon, is that going to be a dampener or is it going to be helping to us? Look, I think you have to get to the strategic intent behind a marketplace sort of a model. What it does to us is a marketplace sort of a model allows to reach IT in many different parts of the country where it doesn't reach in a very good way right now. So the marketplace model will be helpful to that extent, and there is goodness and merit in that. Clearly, the way the Amazon and that deal was structured, if it is coming apart, clearly, that, you know, we've been growing despite and the way in which the whole shift to online has matured over time. It has come to a point where there is a certain amount of shift, and that's pretty much the global phenomenon as well. The online business grows to a point, then it matures, and then it plateaus at that level, whichever that level could be. For different categories of products, it will be 15, 20, 25%. Depending upon the category you deal in, and then it plateaus there. We've seen that plateauing happen in India, and so we continue to grow to the point that our enterprise business, our consumer business, and our commercial PC and print business, as well as the mobile business, that continues to grow because there is a plateau that has already taken place. So marketplace is a good way of reaching many, many, many more customers, both partners as well as customers, across the areas in the country where it does not reach today. And marketplace will be helpful to that extent. So I think in some form or fashion, there will be a way in which the regulatory framework will allow the marketplace models to reach out to these tier 3, 4, 5 cities across the country.
Hello.
I hope, Pawan,
no,
does that answer your question?
No, I think I was approaching it from a different angle. See, when we've historically discussed with you on calls, right, what is the big potential threat to us from online? The threat is the vendor sells to Amazon directly, right? Or Flipkart directly. I'm wondering, with the Cloudtail venture having come undone, is that an indicator that basically the government saying, "Look, guys, we're watching you, and if you try and turn into actual purchasers of inventory, we're going to crack down because that's not our policy intent to allow you to be purchasers as opposed to marketplaces." Does that then mean that this potential threat we were worried about, where Amazon basically buys directly from, say, Apple and cuts us out, is that a threat that the events of the last few days have made less of a threat in some way?
It would. Yes, it does.
Pawan, the short answer is, sorry, go ahead, Rajiv.
Yeah, I think, look, in a way it does. It does. If that regulation follows through and the vendors can't sell to Amazon through their proprietary ventures that they've got, Cloudtail or whatever else they've got, then it really clearly takes it should eventually become a boost for us. But the way we've seen the maturity of this online model, Pawan, the maturity of the online model will be that there will be a certain amount of transactions taking place online, and they will obviously, I mean, they will be facilitated by people like us, and we do it yet right now as well. We do it to both Amazon and Flipkart, we do it, and we will continue to, and for a variety of equipment types, not necessarily mobility devices, but also for a variety of equipment types, we continue to facilitate that, and that should continue. So if you're thinking that there'll be a huge sort of a boost in the way in which our revenues can scale up just because that model is coming undone, I think you'll have to be really thoughtful about it as it goes forward, because all of these players, they've got, and we've seen the Pawan, you've seen in the last 5, 6 years, the regulatory framework of online business in India has been undergoing many, many changes. And every change has been some positive, some negative. In net-net, over a course of 5 to 6 months, it just matures and stabilizes at a point. And I haven't seen so much of a huge either positivity or negativity because of a regulatory sort of a change over the course of next. It just matures over a period of time.
Thank you.
Raj, you want to add
Thanks,
something?
Rajiv. So, yeah. So, Pawan, just in short, I'll give you one numerical first. A short answer to your question: yes, we believe it should be a positive, but it is still a wait and watch. But yes, you are right. We have the same inkling as what you said. Now, one statistical data for whatever it's worth: e-commerce contribution to our India distribution business for Q1 FY 2022 was 20%, if that means anything. I'll just leave part the point with you.
Got it. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Pawan.
Thank you. We would request participants to please limit your question to two at a time. The next question from the line of Chirag from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Two questions from my side. One was in terms of the AR provisioning and the inventory provisioning. If you could give it in percentage terms on a consolidated basis for this quarter and the previous quarter, and the rupee crore amount, both for accounts receivable as well as for inventory. So that was my first question. My second was in terms of margins, which we saw about 2.5% in both the India and overseas business. Do you see these margins are sustainable? And if I can squeeze in a third question, in the IT business, what was the mix, India and overseas separately, of a consumer and enterprise? Thank you.
Great. I'll take your last question first, if that's fine with you. The contribution of enterprise business in India to our enterprise IT was 44%. Consumer IT in India contribution was 56%. This is to India's IT distribution business. In terms of overseas, enterprise IT contributed to 30%, consumer IT contributed to 70%. Does that help?
That's perfect.
Wonderful. Now, can I request Krishnan to sort of answer or respond to inventory provisioning and AR bad debt provisioning, please?
Sure, I'll do, Mr. Raj. So as far as inventory is concerned, for the quarter, the total provision percentage was 0.33%. And for the previous year Q1, it was 0.05%. In the case of AR, for the current year, it is at 0.16%. Vis-a-vis for last year, 0.07%.
And what would be the normalized level for both of these?
If you take the last 15 years, it has been quite broadly, within a range. Inventory provisions would be about 0.05 to 0.06%. In the case of AR, it would be about 0.1%.
Right, and in terms of margins, what would be a sustainable margin? Sorry, I mean rupees crores, if you could give those numbers as well.
Sorry, one more time, regarding?
The accounts, the AR provisioning and inventory provisioning in rupees crores as well.
Okay.
So you want to know the actual value. Okay.
Yeah, I have the AR provisioning. Sorry, I don't have the inventory provisioning amount, but I can get you that. AR provision amount is about 22 crores.
And the last question was in terms of...
So Krishnan, would be fair to say that it is 43... Krishnan, is it 43 crores for inventory provision so that we can also complete that response to that? 0.33 of about 13,000 crores.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that answers your question also on the inventory provision value. Yes, please. Your last question.
In terms of what the sustainable margins are.
Okay. So you did mention that we delivered 2.5% or something of that sort. I just wanted to clarify. Our EBITDA at a consolidated level, what we delivered in Q1 FY22 was 2.70%. Now, our own personal view, what we have said in the past is, this is something which is at the top end. So we believe that it could move anywhere minus, let's say, about 5 to 6% lower and then be probably plus, 2 to 3%. That would be the range. So if I have to be a little more specific, I would say 2.5, 2.6% would be EBITDA at a consolidated level.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chetta from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Some commentary on the demand outlook should be helpful. You mentioned that IT should continue to grow double digit is what you mentioned, enterprise IT. But as an aggregate, including consumer business, both mobility and IT, and aggregate level, what kind of growth is what you see? Because I think last five, six quarters, there was a very strong tailwind. Do you see that tailwind continuing?
The short answer is we believe there is still lots of opportunities for us to grow, both on IT and mobility and double digit. I'll tell you the reason why I'm not being a little specific, but all that I can say for sure is that we will continue to drive double-digit growth. The reason is that we are also, on certain products from certain vendors, we are seeing a little bit of supply constraint. So while, I also hasten to add here that being one of the largest distributors for each one of the technology vendors that we deal with, we are confident that whatever is the allocation that the vendor is able to organize for India or for the META region, we will get the lion's share. That we are confident. but how much are they able to get from their, from their global pool is something that we are not getting a good visibility. So sometimes, as they say, when it rains, it pours. There are times we are able to get more and all the backlog is cleared, but there are times also when we are not able to get what we want. So therefore, I'm a little hesitant to give you a number other than to say we will continue to drive a double-digit growth on both IT and mobility.
Okay. Just a clarification here. Should consumer IT grow faster than the enterprise IT? And should mobility grow faster than the IT?
Okay, great question. At the moment, you are absolutely right. Consumer IT is seeing a lot of high demand and there is a sustained demand. So we believe that as long as we can continue to get supplies, we should be able to drive a strong growth on consumer IT. As far as mobility is concerned, it all again depends on allocation. If we are able to get the supplies, I would not say it can be significantly better than IT, but it has also a strong possibility for us to have a good double-digit growth.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. We would request participants to please submit your question to 2 at a time. The next question is from the line of Rahul Gupta from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hi, Raj. Hope you're doing well. Hello. Can you hear me?
Nice to connect with you.
Yeah. Hi Raj. So I'll try to be a bit louder. So actually my first question, is on India mobility business. So you've done 14% growth this quarter, YOY, which seems a bit subdued, right? Because last year at the same time, we declined around 8-9%. And if you look at Apple's own commentary about India, it has been pretty strong. And if you look at third party sales data also, it seems that Apple sales have grown a lot. So just trying to understand what is the disconnect between our mobility growth versus what the industry data is coming out.
This is one of the brands where we have had a challenge in terms of getting deliveries or getting supply. So it certainly has slowed down our business. But on a side note, Rahul, I must mention that as we speak, even for last quarter, we have done more than our competition. So all that I can tell you is that we are managing to get between both of us slightly higher allocation than competition, but there is a challenge with regard to being able to get the supply and allocation the way we want.
So you're trying to say basically that Apple, basically India supply has been impacted, but at an overall level, because your overall Apple sales have gone up 40% YOY this year, right? If I look at Apple is now 25% of revenue versus 26% last year. So if you do the math,
no,
40% growth.
No, you're absolutely right, Rahul. If you look at our own growth for last year, we just grew massively. In fact, the contribution of this particular vendor to our overall revenue was significant, as high as close to about 38% and 40%. So we also have grown quite nicely for last year. Whatever I'm saying is specific to last quarter and specific to a particular period. I'm not saying, yes, there have been patches of supplies constraints in the past, but it's a little more, I don't want to use the word acute, but it has been a little more pronounced in last quarter than we have seen in the past. That's the only point I'm making.
Got it. And why are the suppliers impacted? Is it like some semiconductor issue or the other issues which are impacting overall supply for Apple, or would you have any insight into what is happening there?
Yes.
No. That is largely the reason. And plus, I also want you to look at the positive side of it. We are all hoping that this year, hopefully with the NPI, though we don't have an idea exactly when it is going to get launched. Last year it was in October, towards the last week. This year we are hoping that it would happen in September. So that would in turn give a strong, once again, an impetus, again, provided we are able to get supply and we are able to get all the shipments and so on. So keeping our fingers crossed, demand is there. There is still, we see tremendous headroom for growth. We are between the two players. We are certainly higher than the competition. So in every sense, we feel good about where we are, as long as we get the supply and shipments the way we want.
Understood. And then the second part is on IT, right? Where you said consumer IT has grown 100% plus. So is it that the industry, because I don't think industry demand would be growing that much, right? So it's basically how much of it is market share gain versus industry growth, if you can just highlight that.
No, I think you hit a very good point. We have grown much faster than the industry, so that is the good news, and I feel good about the fact that we grew at about 35%. Soumya, you could probably correct me wherever I'm wrong. Whereas if you look at how the industry has grown, it has grown by just a weak double digit. So we've grown pretty nicely, and we continue to gain share.
Okay. And is it specific to certain brands where you are gaining share, or is it like all across, or I mean more spread out?
It is across all brands, though there are some which have a much higher velocity. But just to give you a perspective, at a global level, as you would know, Rahul, the growth of PCs was 13%, Q1 FY22 over Q1 FY21, whereas for us, it is a nice 35% growth, as I mentioned. And this is across all brands, though there are some which have a much better velocity.
Understood. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Kshatriya from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, if I look at the growth, it is largely driven by the top five brands. So how should we read this, and does that have any implications on the working capital cycle? And second question is on margins. If I look at, the 35 basis point delta on the EBIT margin, so clearly margin have expanded meaningfully, adjusting for these one-off. So how, what has led to, the decline in the other costs, or should we see this as a normalized cost? Is there a cost which has come down so significantly? And in that light, should we see this, EBIT margin guidance of around 2% a little conservative? Because I think your margins are significantly higher than that currently. Thank you.
Krishnan, you want to take that question, the first one?
Sure. See, in terms of the working capital intensity with the top five vendors, the top five vendors are Apple, HP, Samsung, Dell, and Lenovo. Broadly, the working capital has been more or less similar to what it was in the past. So that will not create any significant difference as far as we are concerned. Yes, while the percentage of business from these vendors have gone up in the current quarter. With respect to expenses, we had been very conscious in terms of the expenses, and our objective has always been to grow the expenses at a pace lower than the revenue growth, and that coupled with the COVID-related the savings had helped us in terms of managing our expenses definitely much better. And this is across all the units be it India, overseas, and within that, India distribution, ProConnect, Meta, or Singapore, we have seen the gross margin has been better than the revenue, and the OPEX has been lower than both the revenue as well as gross margin growth.
Okay, but I mean, does that mean that, you know, these benefits are sustainable and hence we should, I mean, basically the current quarter margin plus 35 basis point delta should be the margins what would be sustainable, or there can be some cost escalation which can happen?
Okay. Per se, significant part of this cost saving should be possible to continue. Of course, well, I mean, once if the travel etc. are back, some of these costs could go up. But having said that, Pranav, you need to understand, in order to scale up the business for future and also invest on technologies, there are some new investments that are being planned. This could step up the cost a bit. But having said that, you should be, you should be confident that our expense increase will not be significant. There will be some expense that will come in because of some new investments that we are trying to make.
Okay. And some color on why this growth is lopsided to, you know, the five brands and not really on overall portfolio basis.
Okay. Now, see, the way you should look at it is, if you look at overall from an industry standpoint, there are these five vendors who are the mighty giants in the technology space. You look at their own revenue, look at their global market share and everything else, they simply stand out. Now, as we look at, there are lots of vendors we deal with on the security space. There are lots of vendors we deal with on software. Why? Even on the cloud. But some of those don't give you the kind of revenue and scale as what you can make from these vendors who sell, whether it is smartphones or whether it is PCs, because this is what is in demand today, and largely on on account of the pandemic, given the work from home and learn from home, this continues to have a very, very still a high demand. So we believe that these product categories and these vendors will continue to rule the roost. But you know very well that from a Redington standpoint, honestly, we are agnostic to whether it is brand A or brand B, and whether it is whether it is this product category or that product category. We want to make sure to all our partners and customers, we are able to give them the complete offering. But naturally so, there are some brands and some models and some products which sell at insane velocity as compared to the others. So I don't want you to be overly concerned whether there is any concentration risk, because finally business is concentrated with five vendors who give us 50% plus of the revenue. I can tell you, you take the top five distributors globally, you will see a similar phenomena play out. It doesn't matter whether it is Redington or any of the global top five or even the top 10, the same scenario will play out. So please, you can put your mind to rest. This is the nature of the beast.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My first question was around the market share bit, where you did talk about that you have gained market share in this quarter. Part of it would be driven by the chip shortage and you would be benefiting from that. My understanding is that that would also be helping on the mix as well within those vendors. They would be prioritizing the products that there is better realization and margin. So within that, my question is that we have seen quarter on quarter very strong gross margin performance sequentially. Typically in this quarter, the gross margin comes down, but we have maintained our last quarter gross margin. Is that being led by this market share and mix improvement, and that could reverse once the chip shortage goes back? Or is this something which we are structurally seeing our gross margin improving and it's not entirely driven by this mix changes? That is my first question. The second is around the cloud business. So in the last quarter, you had talked about that cloud business had now become around 10 billion INR business. Can you just update us what is the size of that business now and the growth YOY? And overall business ROC now is more than 50%. Is the cloud business ROC is even higher than that number? So that's my next last question. Thank you.
Okay. Rajiv, do you want to take the second question first?
Hello. Yeah, Raj. I mean,
okay. Hello. Oh, okay. You're there, or
no? And then,
or you want me to?
You. Hello.
Yes, Rajiv.
Raj, I had a challenge so listening to his first part. Yeah.
No. So no problem. If you don't mind, then I'll take it forward. And if there is anything you want to supplement, please do.
Sure.
Okay. So to your question, Rakesh Kumar, is first of all, thank you for your question. With regard to cloud, we had mentioned earlier on the call that we delivered 280 crores of cloud revenue during the last quarter. This, when compared with Q1 of FY21, which was 174 crores, this represents a 60% growth, year over year. The to your point about whether this ROCE, which was about 52% at a consolidated level, whether the ROCE for the cloud business would be higher, it would be high. I don't know very specifically if it would be higher than 50%, but certainly I must tell you that cloud business, tends to be capital efficient compared to our rest of the businesses. To your earlier question about gross margin, so the way I want you to look at it is as follows. One, in the past, we had the 80-20 rule generally playing out. In other words, 80% of the times or 80% of the inventory, we are able to sell at the normal price and make our normal margin. But there is always a 20% that we would have to sell at lower margin or even at cost, and at some occasions even below cost. So that brings down the blended margin for the 100%. But fortunately for us, I think I did mention this on a few occasions earlier, we have really clamped down on our purchases to make sure that we buy what we can sell this week or next week. We in the past used to buy and stock, and sometimes it would stay in inventory longer than 1 month, even 2 months. Now we are being extremely prudent in terms of our buying, so we don't have to sell any of the products, or whatever we sell, those which are lower margin would be far and few in between. So the answer to your question is, because we have been able to deliver and sell out all our products at the standard margin, so we are not therefore having to discount or having to reduce and compromise on our margin like it used to happen pre-pandemic. This is point number one. Point number two, to your point about the fact that there is a shortage, therefore probably you're carrying an impression that we are making much higher margin. We do make a small teeny weeny higher than probably what we used to before, but we are using it more in terms of ensuring there is a high sales velocity. There is a very high throughput, and that is important for us. Yes, we do make a little more than what we used to make in the past. Now when you take the first and the second together, there is no more 80-20 that is playing out. So there is no more of the 20% of the quantities which we have to discount. And the fact that we are able to get our standard margins and sometimes a little more allows us to be able to have a good sustained margin. I hope, Rakesh Kumar, I would have answered your question on the margin.
Hi, Mr. Shankar. Yeah, that's absolutely useful. Thanks a lot for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Khatwali from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congrats for a good set of numbers. So my question is a continuation of what to the previous participant's question from the cloud business. So, you know, if you can like quantify the margins in the cloud business and you know, what are the growth plans and, you know, how what you expect would be the normal growth rate for us to assume in this business.
So, Rajiv, this time the question was audible, would you please take this question?
I will. And I think that's a great question about cloud, and cloud is seriously the part of business which is growing all across. Just that Raj clarified as part of the first question that the cloud revenues of Rainton grew by 60%, split as cloud resale, which is the product part of the business, grew by 59%, and the managed services portion grew 88% year on year in quarter one. And the industry, cloud industry, expects to grow at an overall rate of about 25%+ thereabout. We are clearly far outstripping the market growth just because the way in which we are trying to position ourselves and the segments of market that we are trying to capitalize on are the ones which are leading us to a higher growth. So we see ourselves outstripping the market. Hazardous to put a number to that growth, but clearly much in excess of the market growth that we should try and continue to be growing. The second question of yours about how the margins play out on the cloud business overall. And the margin profile is different for cloud product resale versus a cloud managed services. The managed services clearly comes at a margin in excess of 30%, depending upon the nature of services that you provide, whether you provide services on the infrastructure or you provide services on transition management services, the profile of margin could be upwards of excess of 30%. Whereas on the cloud product, just the product portfolio, you will get a gross margin in the range of about 6% or thereabouts.
Okay. If I may squeeze in one more question on the cloud business itself. So what is the go-to-market strategy and how do you market the cloud business, so to say?
At a multiplicity of levels. See, the cloud business is heavily predicated on creating capabilities. The more capabilities you create, the better it becomes for you to engage with customers or partners who are providing services to customers. So our market model is at two levels. One, create a platform which allows people to come and engage with you and through you with the customers through the platform that you've got. And that's a cloud managed platform which will allow partners and customers to come and engage, take a look at our offerings of both product and services and take that to the customer. The second model is engaging with, model is engaging with a whole range of partners to expand the coverage in the SMB and the mid-market and upper mid-market space to take offerings, traditional offerings, which is the cloud resale. The first one was cloud services, second is cloud resale. Take a whole range of cloud resale products of Amazon, Microsoft, Google, and similar to the mid-market and upper mid-market customers and SMB customers through the range of partners that we've got across the country. So those are the two predominant models. The one which works at the back end of this is to have extremely good connect and relationships with the hyperscalers
and also with the SaaS, which is, you know, the SaaS vendors of the nature of Salesforce and Zoho and so many of them, Adobe and Workday. You work with them, you work with the hyperscalers, and you work with the implementation partners. So those are the three activities which need to be done besides the technology platform of the cloud managed platform.
Okay, so if, you know, if I'm an extension of that, so the partners that you are talking about, they are the partners who work with you in the distribution business itself. Or are these, you know, other partners that you have acquired over the course of, you know, over the course that you've started this, the cloud business?
Yeah, look, the way the whole industry has sort of come up is a lot of partners who were doing enterprise level services earlier, they stepped up to gain or acquire capabilities in one specific domain of cloud, whether it is a SaaS implementation or it is a security implementation or it is hardware provisioning. So you work with those same partners. There are a very few number of only cloud-specific partners who are born in the cloud, native cloud partners, whether they are the ISVs or they are implementation. So you work with the ISVs, the native implementers, or the traditional enterprise who have migrated to adding capabilities for deployment in the cloud. All three sets of partners exist.
Oh, okay. Got it. That was very helpful. That will be it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raj Shankar for closing comments.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you once again to all the participants for having joined us on this call. I thought we had some great set of questions. In conclusion, I feel that we had another good quarter. You know, for our first quarter of our financial year FY22, we delivered a double-digit growth across revenue, EBITDA, PAT, both in India and in overseas, and hence at a consolidated level. Both IT, mobility, as well as services grew all double-digit. We had, once again, a very strong working capital, you know, which was managed at 18 days, and even ProConnect continues to be, you know, driving growth in spite of all the difficulties and delivering, you know, EBITDA margins, which should start to scale up in the way forward. So overall, it has been a very satisfying quarter. And once again, thanks to everyone for your participation. Good day. Stay safe. And good night.
Thank you. On behalf of Redington India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.